Father in heaven, we ask that this hour may find us attentive to your word and open to your truth, that we may present ourselves as living sacrifices and that we may be fed by your hand, and that when we go from this place, we will know that it has been good for us to gather in your name and that we may go forth under your blessing. Grant all this for the sake of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. For seven long and terrifying years, the fearful and very fierce Midianites had held the people of God, Israel, in cruel oppression. They vastly outnumbered them in every way, and they were a people who were determined to destroy from the face of the earth the people called Israel. We read about them in the book of the Judges. And the hand of Midian prevailed over Israel. And because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves dens in the mountains and caves. For whenever the Israelites put in seed, the Midianites would come and attack them. They would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the land and leave no sustenance in Israel. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the people of Israel cried for help to the Lord. The Lord's response to their cry was to put it into the heart of a man by the name of Gideon to rise up and throw off this foreign domination. And the particular occasion that gave rise to this was the massing on the borders of Israel a vast army of 135,000 enemy that were poised to strike against the people of God. And fury arose in the heart and in the mind of Gideon. And he quickly sent to the neighboring tribes and called all able-bodied men to come and help him. And he was able to gather an army of but 32,000. Now get the scene clearly in mind. An enemy with forces numbering 135,000 amassed on the borders. And Gideon with his very small defending force of 32,000. And then it was that the word of the Lord came to Gideon. A strange word, impossible to grasp or understand. This is what the Lord said. Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand. Too many, Lord. There are 135,000 arrayed against us. All we have is this pitiful force of 32,000. Are you saying we have too many people with us? Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has delivered me. You see, the Lord did not want the children of Israel to take credit for any victory. He wanted them always to understand that he worked in their behalf. And though he used them, it was really the Lord who accomplished the victory. And so the Lord said, what I want you to do, Gideon, is simply to say to any of the 32,000 who have come out to help you, that if they are frightened, if they are scared by what lay ahead of them, tell them they can go home. Now, what the Lord was saying is the same thing he had told Moses years before. The Lord said to Moses, and the officers shall speak further to the people and say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go back to his house, lest the heart of his fellows melt as his heart. Moses understood, and so did the Lord, that fear is very contagious. And so the Lord said, tell them that any of them who are frightened, that they can leave right now and go to their homes. Well, 22,000 of them left. 22,000 of them left. All Gideon had was a band of 10,000. And again, on the borders of Israel were arrayed a vast army of 135,000. Can you imagine the fear as he saw two-thirds of his army evaporate before his very eyes? As he saw people leaving to return to their homes? What do you suppose went on in the heart and the mind of Gideon, who felt this outrage against the people of Midian for coming up with their vast hordes to destroy the people of God? But the Lord was not finished with Gideon and his forces. He said, Gideon, the people are still too many. Still too many, Lord. How could that be? I only have 10,000 left, and they are no match for the enemy. Yes, Gideon, the people are still too many. What I want you to do is invite all 10,000 of them to come to the brook to drink water. And then I'll let you know which ones I have chosen. So Gideon did as he was told. He invited everybody to come to the brook. And when they got there, overcome by thirst, most of them just simply fell on their bellies and began to drink from the water of the brook, leaving themselves defenseless. Then there were some who scooped up the water in their own hands and began to drink, but they were prepared for an emergency if it should strike. And the Lord said to Gideon, Gideon, I want you to take those who scooped up the water and drank it in that way, thus being prepared for even an emergency battle. But there were only 300 of them. 300. 9,700 were eliminated. Now try again to get the feeling. A vast army on the borders. An army, moreover, that had tyrannized the people of God for 7 years. Anytime they planted seed, they would come in and destroy it. They killed all of the flocks and herds. There was not a sheep to be found in the land anywhere. And the people were without food and sustenance. And now the Lord has whittled down the tiny little army of Gideon to just 300 men. Well, if 300 is all you have, certainly you would arm them to the teeth. And the strategy of Gideon was very interesting. He didn't give them spears. He didn't give them bows and arrows. Instead, he put a trumpet in the right hand of each of the 300 men. And in the left hand, he put a clay jar, empty clay jar. And inside that jar was a flaming torch. And he said, now this is what we'll do. We'll divide the group into three parts, three regiments. And I want in the middle of the night, we'll go very, very quietly and surround the army of the Midianites. And so they did. One part of the people of Gideon were on one side, another part gathered on another side, and the third part on yet another side. And we read that it was past the third watch of the night when the soldiers of Midian would be in a very deep slumber. And Gideon said to his forces, "Watch me and do what I do." So at a point when everyone was ready and in absolute silence, Gideon blew on the trumpet, and everyone blew on the trumpets, and they broke the earthenware jars, and the torches came out, and the people awakened and stumbled out of sleep and found themselves surrounded by a circle of fire, and they heard the trumpets blowing, and they were thrown into confusion. And the scripture says they began to fight each other, and they killed each other off and fled. And God won a great victory, and they never had to fight. Now, as I look at this familiar story, I see something that I want to call the Gideon factor. Something that's vitally important for you to understand and for me to understand in our Christian lives. You see, all of us confront enemies. Now, these enemies may not be in the form of people who oppose us, but then they might. They may not be neighbors amassed on our doorstep against us, but they could be. But there are difficulties and obstacles that surround us from time to time. Some of them seem so overwhelming, way beyond our limited resources or ability to overcome. And I want us to understand the Gideon factor. One man with the Lord constitutes a majority every time. one man with the Lord constitutes a majority every time. Now, there are three verses of Scripture that come to my mind that provide us with some background understanding of the Gideon factor. The first one is from Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, think of that for a moment. If God be for us, it doesn't matter who's against us. Carl Sandburg, in his monumental biography of Abraham Lincoln, tells of an incident that occurred during the Civil War. Some people came to the president and said to him, "Tell us, is God on the side of the Union or is he on the side of the Confederates?" Which is a good question at a time of civil war. And yet, Abraham Lincoln said, "That question is of absolutely no consequence to me. The question that is important is, am I on the Lord's side?" You see, the point isn't how great are the obstacles that stand in the way of the kind of life God has promised us. It's described by Jesus not only as life, but abundant life. And yet there are so many obstacles in the way. Sometimes there are obstacles within our own households. Sometimes there are physical obstacles within our own bodies. Often there are circumstances that we face, sometimes at work, sometimes at other places. Sometimes there are people who array themselves against us. And one can think of the enemy in a variety of ways. But the point is this: if God is for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. Because one man with the Lord constitutes a majority every time. Now consider a second background principle. I read from 1 Samuel 14 and verse 6. "Come, let us go over to the garrison of the enemy, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." It doesn't matter to the Lord whether you have a vast army of defense on your side or whether your resources are infinite. If he is on your side and you are on his side, he can save by many or he can save by a few. It doesn't matter. So you see, when you begin to figure in the Gideon factor, then all the difference in the world takes place, and the center of gravity and the whole center of power begins to shift. That's the point. But then there's another background passage. It's in Psalm 81, a most significant point that the Lord wants to teach us something about. "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would so soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes." You see, the Lord wants to deliver his people. He wants to overcome the enemies of his people. He wants to deal with anything in your life that you believe stands between you and the victorious kind of life. He wants to do it, and he's able. But he said, "Oh, if my people would only listen to me, if they would obey my voice and keep my covenant, then I would so soon subdue all their enemies and I would turn my hand against them." You see, there is a price of victory with God. And the price of victory is not the amassing of arms. That's not what it is. The price of victory is walking with the Lord God on his side. It's listening to the word of the Lord. It's hearkening to the word of the Lord. It's believing the Lord God. Now, I just have to tell you, the world will never understand this. No hope in that. We're speaking mysteries of the faith. Don't expect the unbelieving nations of the world to understand what we're talking about. Gideon looked foolish to them. I mean, even to go against an army of 135,000 with 32,000 was a foolish thing. But when it was cut down to 10,000, the lunacy was multiplied. And then when it was cut down to 300, no one would think of doing a thing like that. And then the strategy, I mean, just think of the strategy. The strategy was simply to surprise them, that's all. You know, in the middle of the night, wake them up. That's all. You see, the Lord fought for Gideon. That's the point. The Lord fought for Gideon because Gideon was on God's side. He had listened to him. He had hearkened to his voice, and he had obeyed him. And the Gideon factor is this again. One man with the Lord is always a majority. Now, one can look at this same principle stated in different ways in different places in the scripture. I'm always interested to see the same point made again and again in different contexts. Back under the Old Covenant, the law, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, listen to this. If you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000, and your enemies shall fall before you. I like that. I like that. That's a ratio of 1 to 20. 5 shall chase 100. 100 shall chase 10,000. That's a ratio of 1 to 100. Again, do you see the same principle? If you obey my voice, if you hearken to my commandments, then I will fight for you, says the Lord God. You find the same thing stated over again in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. I'd love to read the whole chapter to you because it's so marvelous. Here the Lord again is talking about obedience and walking with him and on his side. He says, if you do that, I'll make you the head and never the tail. He says, if you don't do that, I'll make you the tail and not the head. But this is the way he states the principle in this remarkable chapter. He says, and if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, being carefully to do all that I have set before you this day, then I, the Lord, will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way, but they shall flee before you seven ways. I like that. The Lord said, if you will walk with me, I will fight your battle for you, and I will destroy your enemy. And they'll come out against you one way, but I'm going to scatter them seven ways before you. And then there's another one, another statement of the very same principle. Again, this is in Joshua chapter 23. Let me read it to you. Succinctly stated, here it is. Therefore, be very steadfast to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. And one man of you shall put to flight 1,000. Since it is the Lord who... your God who fights for you, even as he promised you. Those aren't bad odds. You know, 1 against 20, or 1 man against 100, or 1 man against 1,000, putting them to flight. How could that be? That's unbelievable. Of course it is. This isn't human reasoning we're talking about. This is the plan and the purpose of God. And what does he say? He says that one man with God is always a majority in every situation. A little tiny resource with the blessing of God upon it is all you need. What was it David used? Well, you remember, he went down to the brook and took 5 smooth stones and a slingshot. He never had to use 4 of them. He hit the giant the first time. Tiny stone. But in the hand of David, who was on God's side, the enemy was destroyed. You see, God delights in using the weak things of the earth to confound the strong. That's just the way he does it. Did you get that out of the epistle today? The Lord delights in choosing those things that the world despises, even things that are foolish, to confound the mighty. Did you see the cover of your bulletin today? Did you notice it? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Yes, it is, when you and I are on his side. Many, many years ago, I went to a camp all summer. This was when I was, I don't know how old I was, maybe 10 years old. No, I think it was before that. I went to a summer camp. It was a Christian camp. And I remember that at that camp, somebody who was one of the counselors or somebody whose name I've long since forgotten, talked to us kids about choosing a life verse from the Bible. And I remember that at that time, for the first time in my life, I looked through the Bible to find one verse that I could take as my life verse. And the verse that I took at that time was Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now, those passages are probably familiar to some of you, but this is what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths, or as the Revised Standard says, and He will make straight your paths. I like both of those translations. Now, what does that say? I think that that embodies the essence of the Gideon factor. What it says is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means that we are willing to commend our way to the Lord. We're willing to believe that in the circumstances of our life, He can work and will do so. It means that we're willing to take some chances and some risks for God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Secondly, and lean not on your own understanding. I have found that a bit more difficult. Lean not on your own understanding, because you see, human understanding assesses the enemy. And the enemy Gideon faced was vast. I mean, 135,000 people. That's what the intelligence officers told Gideon. They're the ones on the other side of the border, and they're ready to come against us. You see, when we assess with our own understanding the obstacles in our lives, lots of times we'll be discouraged. Many times I felt overwhelmed by situations beyond my control that confronted me. Lots of times I have felt that the enemy or those things that stand in the way of a victorious life for me are simply too great to overcome. I didn't have the wisdom to do it. I didn't have the strength to do it. I didn't have the resources to do it. So often I felt that way. But you see, the counsel of the Lord is don't lean on your own understanding. It'll always look that way to you. Life will always be filled with problems. Now, I've lived long enough to know that there isn't a thing about the Christian faith that tells us that commit your life to Christ and follow Him and you'll miss out on problems in life. That certainly isn't my experience, and I don't think it's yours either. The promise of the Lord is not that we will escape difficulties and problems and even enemies, but that the Lord will work through them. I love the passage in Isaiah 43. When you pass through the rivers, it doesn't say if you pass through, it assumes you will sooner or later. When you pass through the waters, they will not overflow you. When you pass through the fires, you will not be consumed. It doesn't say as Christians that we will escape death. What it does say is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, behold, thou art with me, and that the sting of death is removed. So you see, there are problems. There are enemies all about us. But the Lord says, look, come on my side, and I'll fight for you. One man with God is always a majority. And the rest of that promise is, and I will direct your paths, says the King James, or I will make straight your paths, says the Revised Standard. I like both of them, so I say it both ways. I will make straight your path. I will let you know the way you are to walk so that you will miss the shoals around, that you'll be able to go in a straight direction. I'll let you do that. I'll guide you. And he said, I will make straight. I will remove the rocks as we go along. Oh, as you look very far down the pike, you'll see all kinds of boulders on the highway. But I'm just going to clear them out when you get there. And I parted the sea once and took my people through, and I can do the same thing for you. Remember the promise of the Lord. Difficulties, problems, enemies overwhelm us. But he said, I will fight for you. Now, I want to end by telling you of one of the most exciting battles in the whole of the Bible. I just love it. I haven't got time to read the whole thing, though I'd like to. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This time, an enemy much vaster than 135,000 amass against the people of God. Just overwhelming. An army seven times as big as that, began to gather against the children of Israel. And this time, the king cries out before them. The king knows the situation. He understands perfectly. He knows that the enemy that is arrayed against them is far greater than anything they could handle. And he turns to the Lord in this moment of distress. He trusts in the Lord. Listen to his prayer. See the picture. Enemies everywhere. Everywhere. And the king turns to the Lord. O Lord, God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? Dost not thou rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In thy hand are power and might, so that none is able to stand thee. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir have come up to destroy us. O God, wilt thou not execute judgment upon them? For we are powerless against this great multitude that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. You see, that's a man who has learned the Gideon factor, and he figures it into his equation, and it changes everything. Well, the Lord responded to the prayer of the king by speaking through a prophet by the name of Jahaziel. And Jahaziel, speaking the word of the Lord, said to them, "Fear not, be not dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not need to fight in this battle. Take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem." And then they all went to bed. The next morning they got up, and the Lord, through the prophet, told them, "Your enemy is going to come up against you from this valley. And this is what I want you to do. Listen to this. I love this." The Lord said, "Set your army, pitiful though it is, set them in battle array. Get them ready for the march. And I want you to take the choir, and I want you to put them up front." Now, of course, that's subject to several interpretations. In some churches, thank God this is not one of them, the choirs have been described as the war department of the church. Fitting they should be up front. But that's not the intention here. They were to be up front because they were to lead the people in praise and in singing. Can you see the picture? Here is this paltry little army arrayed against hundreds of thousands coming against them. And so what do? They raise their banners and they begin to sing and they begin to praise the Lord as they march toward the battle. And you know what it says? It says this, "And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come up against Judah, so that they were utterly routed." Well, what a battle. The Lord had obtained a victory, and all the people did was trust in him and continue to sing to him and to praise him, and the enemy was routed. Do you understand God's word to us today? It's very simple. Learn from Gideon, the Gideon factor. Understand that when we are on God's side in obedience and faithfulness, he turns to us and says, "Listen, stand still, sing to me in praise, and I'll fight your battle for you. Because you see, I'm able to deliver by many or by few. Doesn't matter. If God is for us, who can be against us? Doesn't matter what the enemy is or how great the obstacle is. I will fight for you." One man, dear people, and one woman with God is always a majority.